Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of WPR. Home economics. That's how people of my generation remember it. We call it something different today. We're seeing a lot of experts now say, hey, we need to do a better job of teaching people how to live. There are problems with obesity, financial illiteracy, all sorts of things going on that we don't like, that we might be able to fix if we did a little better job of training people when they were in high school. We're going to talk about that today. Enrollment in family and consumer sciences classes are shrinking. And we're going to talk about how we might reverse that and how we might make some improvements. Do you think family and consumer sciences or home ec should be a part of the school curriculum? What skills should be taught in these classes? And is there a skill you wish you would have learned in school as opposed to trying to learn it as an adult? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. My guest is Susan Turgeson, who is Assistant Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Professor, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So we have this study from the American Association of Family and Consumer Sciences saying that enrollment in family and consumer sciences classes has declined almost 40% in the 10 years prior to the release of the report. Why has there been such a drop in enrollments?
Well, we've noticed that some things have definitely changed at the federal and state level in that same amount of time. Schools chose to focus on career or core academics, advanced placement courses, and as predominantly an elective area, family and consumer science courses may have been cut due to a misconception that family and consumer sciences content was not essential to student success. Decision makers failed to recognize the importance of family and consumer sciences and the relevancy to the needs of students. Family and consumer sciences is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is kind of a buzzword in education, as it is project-based learning, as it is 21st century skills. Family and consumer sciences was and is all of those initiatives, and family and consumer sciences is a very visionary field. So I would say that we were all of those things before they became cool. If you're a fan of the country singer Barbara Mandrell, one of her famous songs is I was country before country was cool. I would say that family and consumer sciences was STEM and project-based learning and 21st century skills before those things were cool.
Well, apparently we're pretty interested in them now. All of a sudden, Michelle Obama calling for more education about things like cooking and financial literacy, and others echoing that same refrain. How about in Wisconsin? What are the numbers like here?
I don't have any hard numbers to share with you. The data is actually very difficult to collect and is very fluid, as a matter of fact. Where we see some of those numbers declining, again, because especially in smaller districts, when budget cuts were being made, it was a challenge to maintain all of the programming that districts wanted. And so, unfortunately, family and consumer sciences was one of those things that potentially was cut. However, that being said, there's many districts where family and consumer sciences programs are growing and are doing very well and are strong. But one of the challenges we have is having enough certified teachers to teach those courses. Again, with the state of the state, teacher education hasn't been as popular a field for individuals to choose. And so we're seeing not only family and consumer sciences, but teachers in all fields, those numbers are declining.
So is this just a budget issue? Or I know a lot of teachers. I'm married to a retired teacher, and my daughter's a teacher, and one of the things that I hear about is that we're trying to shoehorn more and more and more content into the same sized box in terms of the amount of time that teachers have with students every day. And so, you know, we want them to learn about this, we want them to learn about that, and two dozen other things. How do we make a good decision here?
Well, that is a very big challenge because we are expecting schools to do more and more with less and less. And there's so much more to know. As science and technology evolves and our society changes, there's always more content. So the body of knowledge never decreases, it only increases. And there's just no way that we can give students absolutely everything that they need before they head out into the world. But what we can give them are critical thinking skills, decision-making skills, problem-solving skills, and resiliency, and the ability to learn how to learn. The content will continue to change. But if individuals are prepared for how to address those changes and how to learn the information that they need on their own, they'll be well prepared. And family and consumer sciences is one of the ways we can do that. It's a very interdisciplinary field and covers almost all other areas. It's the application of English and science and math and everything that is taught in schools. So my argument would be that family and consumer sciences should be essential and one of those things that we don't do without.
Let's take some calls. We're already getting people interested in this topic. Let's go to Ladysmith first, and Bill is there.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Mom used to destroy my clothes. She didn't know how to do them at all. And, I mean, anything that was elastic, was she over-bleached. And I thought, well, she, you know, hey, this is great class. It's all full of females. And it was home ec. And I didn't know how I was going to be graded on it. I got an A. And she called it Bachelor Ed. This is about 1970, 71 in Portland, Oregon, Centennial High School, close to Gresham, you know, kind of the outskirts.
And so you were able to take that class in high school?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I guess I was the only male that she ever had. I got an A on Hawaiian pineapple pizza with Canadian bacon.
Wow. And now I'm hungry. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that call. That was very untraditional at that time. I mean, guys took shop and the girls took home ec, and that's what we used to call it. It's now called Family and Consumer Sciences. But our caller's story, not a typical one for 1970.
We definitely saw at that time that it was very gender-specific as far as the types of courses that students were taking. That's one of the reasons for the change in the name of Family and Consumer Sciences. In 1994, that name was changed to more accurately address the work that was being done, the complexity of the profession, and to be more inclusive so that we were considering the role of males in the home and family and community as well. All of the skills that were taught in the traditional home economics course evolved over time so that all of those principles could be applied to other areas in career and community work as well. And we know that that is not just the work of the female, but males need to do all of those things as well. And especially in today's society, families are very complex, and people need some special training and preparation to learn to be part of a family. It doesn't just come naturally. We don't have a special gene to help us do those kinds of things. And not everybody has someone in their family to teach them the skills that the caller was referring to, whether it's laundry or cooking, some of those basic life skills that are so critical to our survival. And we find that both men and women need some support in those skills, and they may not always have someone else to do it for them, either through choice or through circumstance.
Well, here's we had a caller earlier, Mary, who couldn't stay with us, but she used to be a school board member, and she advocated for this kind of curriculum. She said it's absolutely must be a requirement for students, again, starting in middle school. And we're just about at news time now, but how early should we start teaching this? Middle school, is that early enough? Should we start teaching it as earlier than that even?
Well, in the best-case scenario, we would be starting at an elementary school as well. And, in fact, some of the elementary teachers do integrate some of these concepts into their courses. My daughter had a wonderful first-grade experience where her teachers had something called the Tickle Pickle Cafe. And so the kids integrated their English and math through learning about food and food preparation, customer service. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Okay.
But definitely by middle school, students need to be exploring these things in a safe way with the opportunity, again, to have that support. So if they do make mistakes, there's someone to assist them.
And we need to get to the news. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. In just a moment, we'll continue our discussion with Professor Susan Turgeson about the value of family and consumer sciences, or home ec. First, the news. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about family and consumer sciences, or home ec, and the case for teaching it more often in schools. Our guest is Susan Turgeson, Assistant Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. So, listeners, what do you think? Do you think family and consumer sciences, or home ec, as many of us grew up knowing it, should be a part of the school curriculum? What skills should be taught in these classes? What do we need to know? And is there a skill you wish you would have learned in school as opposed to trying to learn it as an adult? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, email address talk@WPR.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Professor, we were talking about when we should start. Middle school seems like a good time, although some teachers in the elementary grades do introduce some basic concepts. Another thing you mentioned earlier, I wanted to go back to, some of us learned some of these things in homes. Not everybody could do that. Our caller earlier, his mother had trouble doing laundry. He had to learn how to do it himself. I was very fortunate. My mother taught me how to do all of this stuff. She knew that I was fussy about how my shirts looked, so she taught me how to iron them. And I liked cooking, so she taught me how to do that. One thing I regret not learning, though, is how to sew. But beyond the practical skills, what does a student learn in a home ec class that they can't learn somewhere else?
Well, in today's day, you can always learn things somewhere else. people love YouTube and love to Google things, but learning it from someone who has been trained and is also there to support and scaffold that learning is really critical. So Family and Consumer Sciences offers individuals those opportunities not only to do things like to learn to cook or to do some sewing, but also to manage time, budget money, how to eat nutritiously, how to have positive interactions with others on a daily basis. One of the wonderful things about family and consumer sciences is the teamwork that happens in those classrooms and the support that individuals give to one another. So even a student who has the luxury of learning these things at home from a family member can enhance their skills in class, could help teach someone else those skills, could potentially learn some other ways of doing things, and possibly even find it as a springboard to a career that they enjoy doing it so much that they have the opportunity to explore a career where it's the type of work that they could be doing later on in life as their major source of employment.
So if students aren't learning these skills, how does that affect them later in life?
Well, if you are following Facebook and social media and you've seen the hashtag adulting, I think that could possibly answer your question. Individuals really struggle to figure out some of these things on their own and have many, many failures along the way. And I always say smart people learn from their mistakes, but really smart people learn from other people's mistakes. So being able to see the challenges and obstacles that others have encountered can help you avoid some of those kinds of things. So when we see people struggling with some of the basics, Family and Consumer Sciences teachers could write books about the things that we expect that people should know how to do. One example that comes to mind is I had students who were planning to make mashed potatoes as part of their meal that they were preparing. And they had the pot of water, and the potatoes had been washed. They were still whole with all the skins on, and they put them in the pot of water. That would take a really long time to actually come up with mashed potatoes by the end.
Oh, no kidding.
that's just the tip of the iceberg. I know if any Family and Consumer Sciences teachers are listening right now, just a multitude of stories are popping into their heads, and they can one-up me on any story that I have to tell. So some of the things that seem so basic or so obvious aren't, if you haven't ever had the opportunity to do that. And sometimes at home there isn't the time to do that, or parents will just do it themselves because it's faster and more efficient. And so if the child never learns how to do that, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. And so we give them the opportunity to figure those things out. But again, it's basic things like cooperating with other people, reading and following directions, time management, and those kinds of skills can be applied to anything that they do in life.
Well, they certainly apply to radio. let's take a call. Eric is with us in Hazel Green. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
My comment is, I'm a teacher, and I've seen a lot of colleagues who are family consumer education teachers just lose their jobs because of state testing. State testing obviously doesn't test skills like this, and a lot of schools are dropping the family consumer education programs. Is that something that your guest is concerned about?
Well, so the test for family and consumer sciences curriculum is life. And unfortunately, it's not something that, you know, we can teach in 9 weeks and is never going to appear on a standardized test. One of the challenges is that schools are very focused on testing. But I think what we're finding is through these issues that we're seeing young adults have, that we're recognizing how critical it is to provide these skills and opportunities. So I really am hopeful that those trends will be changing and that we will be supporting students so that they are college, career, and life ready.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me that you shouldn't be able to graduate high school without knowing how to boil potatoes. Because potatoes are important, and there's actually, if you think about the steps required to cook a pot of boiled potatoes, forget about mashing them, just cooking a pot of boiled potatoes, there's a lot there that applies elsewhere. I mean, you have to pay attention, you have to be aware of context, you have to look at the potato to make sure it's not rotten, and, you know, there's a certain amount of hand-eye coordination required to peel a potato without skinning your knuckles. And you have to pay attention once it's on the burner, because otherwise you end up with a mess. And I mean, you know, this goes back to kind of what you were saying earlier, that a lot of the things that you would learn in these classes are important life skills, decision making, how to take a look at a situation and go through it step by step and figure things out. That seems like things that are really important in life, but as you point out, you can't put that on a standardized test, which to some would reveal the major weakness of standardized testing in the first place. We have a comment from Margaret in Platteville, who thinks all high school students need to learn how to complete a simple tax return and how to prepare financially for their future. How about that? I mean, you know, we just being able to fill out a form for the IRS ought to be something that everybody knows. Isn't that right?
Personal finance is very critical. We know that everything somehow comes back to economics, and we need to be able to function and support ourselves. Personal finance is, in many schools, a graduation requirement now, so I think we are moving in the right direction, and in many cases, the Family and Consumer Sciences teacher is the person who is directing that curriculum. It can also be taught by someone with an economics certification or business as well. So I think that is an area that we really have recognized as a need and want to support students in that, because they will work at some point in their life. They will have a career and need to make informed decisions and be able to do those things on their own, independently.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we do have individuals who prepare taxes, but not everyone can always afford to have someone else do those kinds of things. So again, the more that we can be self-sufficient and do those things for ourselves, the better off that we can be as well.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, the number to call to join our program. We're talking about the kinds of life skills that used to be taught in school as a matter of course, enrollment in these types of courses now dropping, as schools abandoning these programs because, well, they don't fit into any kind of standardized test protocol, and they're not part of the core curriculum that's being pushed as being the most important. Wondering what you think about this. Are these skills that students need to learn? Should a student be able to graduate from high school and not be able to balance a checkbook? And keep a financial record, learn how to pay their bills on time, how to manage their credit, that kind of thing. How important is that to you, and would you like to see your school offer that as part of their curriculum? Professor, some people might argue that the material that we're talking about, the kinds of life skills that we've said are essential, that is something that parents ought to be teaching at home rather than having the schools do it. What do you make of that argument?
In a perfect world, I might tend to agree with them. Not everyone, again, has that luxury. Unfortunately, we have a lot of parents who don't have these skills and who don't know how to do these things. So it becomes kind of the blind leading the blind in that case. We went through a generation where individuals were more affluent. They were able to purchase a lot of these kinds of tasks. You know, maybe someone came in and cleaned your house, so you didn't clean it. You paid someone to do your taxes. You had someone cook, or you were dining out. If that was the case, then you maybe don't have those skills yourself, so how are you prepared to teach them to the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
We also find a lot of families who are just very strapped for time, and as much as they would love to do that, at the end of the day they come home and are exhausted, and that's the last thing on their mind, to sit in the kitchen and work with their child to teach them those skills. So we need to have some other avenues available so that individuals aren't missing out on those skills, whether it be personal and family finance, housing skills, food, nutrition, wellness, textiles, apparel, and all the consumer issues that come along with life.
Well, and even if, let's take a call here. Candy is with us in Madison. Candy, good morning.
Well, good morning. I would like to pose a question here. That I think that we have stopped teaching a bit of sewing to especially our young men these days. My sons are grown now and married, but to this day they can't sew on a button or repair a pocket, and neither can their wives. So they all come to me for these little things, and I encourage them to watch me do it or take it in their hands and do it themselves, but it's kind of convenient when you have your mom around to take care of those things. But one of these days I won't be there, and I sure want them to have those skills. I wish that they had gotten some of those little skills earlier, you know, part of their curriculum in high school. It would have been kind of fun probably, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm very lucky. My wife sews, and so I didn't have to learn, but I wish I had. And that's Professor, what we should do is change the name of the program to Life Hacking.
Or adulting, right?
Yeah, maybe it would be sexier then, and people would jump on it.
Well, you know, we can change the name all day long, but it ultimately boils down to it's the same curriculum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's those types of things that we recognize as being so important. And, you know, sewing did lose some of its luster over time, and again, because of the affluence of our society, we became very disposable. So if a button fell off a shirt, what do? You throw it away. It becomes a rag. You donate it to Goodwill and make it somebody else's problem. We don't necessarily have the same luxuries as individuals. Incomes have potentially shrunk, and we're trying to make do with less. We need to figure out how to do those things. So they're great skills to have. And as we know, teaching textiles and apparel is a wonderful connection to science, technology, engineering, and math. So when schools say we have to teach STEM, Family and Consumer Sciences is STEM in everything we do. Our name is Family and Consumer Sciences with an S. It's plural. We encompass all of those sciences.
Thanks, Candy, for that call. 800-642-1234, the number to call. We had a caller, Rick, who couldn't stay on the line, who once heard from a tech ed teacher that, quote, we're teaching our children to buy things, not make them.
And that's very true, although even if you can buy them, someone has to make them. So someone needs to have those skills. If they become lost, there will be nothing to buy. Again, if we go back to clothing, who designs those clothes? Who makes those clothes? If we're talking about tech ed and maybe woodworking or some of the other skills, we have to give individuals the opportunity to explore those skills because maybe they will be inspired and it will be a career option for them. That's the beauty of our career and technical education areas, not only family and consumer sciences, but tech ed, agri-science, health science, marketing and business. Students get to do community service projects and real-life applications through work experience, internships, job placements, certifications. They get to explore careers and then really make an informed career choice. So they're getting some practical skills. So they have the personal use, but for many students, it becomes a professional aspiration for them as well.
So, and we covered this a little bit earlier, but I know we've had some listeners who just joined us. Between now and when we have to break for news in about 3 minutes or 2 minutes now, let's talk about what an ideal family and consumer sciences class would look like.
Oh, gosh, there is always more topic than time. So an ideal class would last forever because we continue to enhance those skills. But we want students to have some basics in parenting, family relationships, communication skills, some nutrition, fitness, food preparation, finances, some textiles, and consumerism. Mm-hmm. So being able to touch on each of those areas so that it is very well-rounded and comprehensive, and then having the opportunity to then maybe take a course after that that's more specific in each of those areas. So if someone is really moved in culinary, for example, they enjoyed learning about food preparation, that then they have an opportunity to do something more advanced in that area.
Mm-hmm. And we should start teaching this in middle school?
Definitely. By the time students are in high school, that's when grade point averages matter, and it's a lot more difficult for a student to take an elective knowing that they're going to get a grade and being concerned about not doing well. So if they've had that opportunity to explore it in earlier grades and kind of know what they enjoy, it will make that transition easier, and they will be more likely to take those courses. And again, they start getting inspired with some career options and looking at how these things that they're learning teaches them math and money management and all of these other things as well.
We're at news time. We'll take a break and come back and have more of our discussion with Professor Susan Turgeson about the value of family and consumer sciences, or home ec, as we used to call it. We'll do that in just a moment. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Please join us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. talk@WPR.org is the email address, and you can also find us on Facebook. Look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and leave your comment or question there. We'll be back and have more of our discussion with Professor Turgeson. First, this news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio News. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about family and consumer sciences, or home ec, and the case for teaching these courses more often in schools. Our guest is Susan Turgeson, Assistant Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. So what do you think about this? Do you think family and consumer sciences should be a part of the school curriculum? What skills should we be teaching? And is there a skill you wish you would have learned in school as opposed to trying to learn it as an adult? Call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, email address talk@WPR.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, one of the things, Professor, we haven't touched on in great detail at all is we've talked about what should be in the curriculum, but how hard is it to find qualified teachers to teach these classes?
Well, that has definitely been a challenge for districts. As school is starting, it's back to school time. Today is the first day of classes at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Go Pointers. We are setting stage for our students who will be teaching these classes. We get constant calls from districts looking for certified teachers. We need more individuals pursuing education, specifically family and consumer sciences education. When I checked the job board for the state, there were still 15 open positions unfilled in the state as school is beginning. We do have a teacher shortage issue, not just in family and consumer sciences, but in education in general. So supporting individuals who have a passion for education and to continue to support quality teacher preparation is vital.
It makes it a little tough to recruit, though, if schools are getting rid of these programs. I mean, by the time, if you, let's say there were jobs now, okay, so I start as a freshman and I'm going to enroll in a program, assuming I can find one, I'm going to enroll in a program that will prepare me to teach these courses. By the time I graduate, there may not be any jobs.
And I would say that is definitely a misconception. Teacher need is not only in Wisconsin, but nationwide. I like to tell students that we have 400% placement rates. For every student we graduate, there's at least four jobs. So even though some schools may have reduced their offerings of family and consumer sciences, there are still many, many, many districts that are supporting family and consumer sciences and will continue to do so. We have a large population of professionals that are nearing that retirement age. So there was a big boom in the 80s of graduates, and yes, some people were a little nervous about programs being cut, so maybe didn't enter the field, but that is not an issue at this point, and I can guarantee that if someone were to begin the program, there would definitely be not one job, but many jobs available for them.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Joanne in Neshco. Joanne, good morning.
Good morning. I taught home ec way back in 1959 and on for a while. And we had seven different sections of home economics, and I think the most important of them was child care and development, which included prenatal care, like do not drink or smoke, you know, while you're pregnant. And also then, of course, care of the baby and care of the children as they grew up. And I don't know, I think that was one of the most important parts of the whole home economics program then.
I think that's absolutely fabulous that you brought up child development. That is very important, and it's connected to everyone's life. All of us will interact with children in some capacity, whether it's doing some babysitting as family members, aunts, uncles, being near children at the grocery store or at social events. We need to understand children, and for many individuals, they will choose to become parents, or they will work in a career that will involve children in some capacity. So child development is a very, very critical component. Thanks for bringing that up.
Joanne, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Dennis in Racine. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Thanks for being on the air. This is a good program. I went to school a long time ago, graduating from Racine School in 63. I think things have changed since then, but nonetheless, we graduated with very little knowledge of these skills. I mean, all they did was teach home ec in like 7th grade or 8th grade, a little bit of snow sewing, a little bit of cooking, and that was about it, except for one or 2 weeks in the senior year, we basically covered basic financial issues. But all they emphasized through my schooling all those years was abstract knowledge, and I must say I'm 71. After all this time, very little of that really helped at all in real life. I mean, it really didn't do anything. And so these practical skills are very important. You mentioned, I should add, in addition, beyond economic courses, why not add courses in dating, friendship formation, career exploration, and that kind of thing, how to rent, buy a house, budgeting. Now, those skills simply weren't taught at all. And we kind of graduate from high school with none of that knowledge that I know of.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Professor?
Yes, I would echo those comments. All of those things are important and are part of family and consumer sciences courses. The biggest challenge is many of those courses are electives. So some of the students have that exposure. Relationships is a big piece of the puzzle and impacts all of our lives every single day. Nobody leaves family and consumer sciences class thinking, when am I going to use this again? We know that we will have those interactions with others on a daily basis. When students take those classes, by and large, they say, this should be required. Everybody should take this class because they get so much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if only one section is being offered, that might be 30 students out of an entire graduating class. The caller's right. Not everybody's going to have that. And that's not fair. We would like to have more students have that opportunity. So being supportive of the programs, talking to your local family and consumer sciences professionals at the school and in your extension offices is really important, and having that voice heard so that districts know that this is important and it's something that you care about.
We have a comment, an email from Juliana, who's writing from Siren, and she says, we are fortunate to have a very skilled and dedicated consumer ed program. Our daughter went through it and developed some very good skills, and as a restaurant owner, we partner with some of the students and do an apprenticeship program. So that sounds like a really great thing going on in Siren.
Yes. Many of the programs I mentioned previously talked about work experiences, internships, and certification opportunities, and it's great to have those partnerships in the community and with industry. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that family and consumer sciences classes also, some of them can be transcripted with our technical colleges, so there's lots of advantages to students who are taking these courses.
Well, we touched on this earlier. We talked about the need for this. We've talked about some of the challenges involved in getting students to take a course, an elective course, during their high school years when grade point is so crucial. So that leads us to this. How do we market this? What do we do to get more interest in these courses and increase enrollment in them? Do we make them required?
Making it a graduation requirement is one way to go about it. When we require something, it says we value it, we feel that it's important. And there are school districts that have a life skills graduation requirement, and that can be accomplished in a variety of ways. So I do think that that's one great way to do it. The other is when they are electives, it's really encouraging students to pursue those electives and to recognize that they are valuable, that it's not a waste of their time or it's not just fluff. Everyone needs to have these skills, as several of our callers have mentioned. Mm-hmm. In the old days, and we'll go back to the 60s and 70s, as many of our callers have shared their experiences, there was really a split. There was the college prep route, and there was a vocational route that individuals took. And we really need to stop telling kids who are going to college that they don't need these kinds of classes, because I'm pretty sure that college students will have a career and a life, and they need to be ready for those aspects as well. And so helping them understand how taking these classes will only help them in college, again, with time management, skills in teamwork and resiliency, and then just those basic skills to help them get through. As we see our first-year students coming in, the questions that they ask, there's a lot of trepidation as they make that transition into their independent adult life, and more support is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. For many, and you brought this up earlier, for many people, it's their first day of school today. This is the new school year, whether it's on the college campus or at the local high school, the local middle school. Give us your advice for a student who might be taking a family and consumer science class for the very first time.
Oh, soak it all up and keep an open mind. Be an active participant in your class and engage. If you do, good things will happen. These things that were important over 100 years ago are still important. They're the continuing concerns of families and communities. We aren't as focused maybe on technical skills, the how to do things, but we want people to know why should we do something and to help them choose the best method for their situation. So take it all in and consider yourself very fortunate to be in these classes with professionals who are excited to be helping you navigate these types of skills and prepare you for your future life.
Well, Susan, I think that's a great place to leave it. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Again, always more topic than time, so if you'd ever like to have this conversation continue, let me know.
Okay, well, I think that's noted. And, of course, it's better to have more topic than time than the other way around. Trust me, as a host, I don't want the other one. Susan Turgeson is Assistant Professor of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. This program was produced by Niaja Allison, Chris Molina, Brianne Chasso, and Bill Martins. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of WPR. Stick around. There is more to come on the Joy Cardine Show.